bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm going to share with you a tafsir of a few ayat in the Quran that belong to Surah Al-Baqarah. And every single ayah in the Quran is extremely relevant in our life. And this is a passage that Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us of the reality of life and what each and every single one of us will face of tests and calamities. And within these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us solutions on how to think when being struck by calamities, what type of emotion are we supposed to have when hit by calamities, and how should our behavior be, what we should do in a moment of calamity. And of course, many of you will know these ayat that belong to Surah Al-Baqarah, in where Allah Azza wa Jal begins and He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Hands up, just a quick hands up if you know these ayat. Just a quick hands up, please, if I can have all your hands, whoever knows these ayat. Okay, and those who don't know the ayat, hands up. Okay, excellent. Inshallah ta'ala, we want to come out with a benefit. For those that don't know, we'll learn. And for those who know, will be idhnillah, by Allah's permission, you'll gain some knowledge and some insight on how to have these ayat in your life and how to act upon what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. Because ultimately, that's our relationship with the Quran. Very important ayat. Before we begin with the first ayah, let me just put in your mind, reframe this thing. The greatest purpose for why the Quran was revealed was what? Who knows? What's the greatest purpose for why the Quran was revealed? It's one word. Huh?
So Muslims can read it.
MashaAllah. Yalla, tafaddal. What's the answer? Ya salam, MashaAllah. Yalla, anyone?
Get more knowledge of Islam.
To get more knowledge of Islam. MashaAllah. Yalla, who else has an answer for us? Why was the Quran revealed? What's the purpose of the Quran? Ya salam. To guide humanity. MashaAllah. Yalla. Do we have insurance in this masjid just in case we get someone in his head or something? MashaAllah. Tawbah. A form of mercy? Oh, of course it's a mercy. Yeah. Yalla. Ahsant. Okay, let's listen. The greatest purpose of the Quran is to ponder. Is to ponder over the Quran, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that they can ponder over its ayat. Every single ayat deserves pondering. Now I want to teach you something, inshaAllah, you never forget in your life. When I say, brothers and sisters, every ayah in the Quran we have to ponder over, meaning you have to do three things with an ayah. Three things. You need to ask yourself three things and you need to get the answer for these three things. Every ayah, ask yourself, how does Allah want me to think? Yani, this ayah now has to change my thought process. It has to correct my thinking on certain matters in life, this ayah. What does Allah want me to think? Sometimes I may have an incorrect, a wrong thinking of life. The ayah is offering me guidance in terms of how I'm supposed to think. Number two, you ask yourself, what emotion should I have in my heart? How does Allah want me to feel? So how does He want me to think? How does He want me to feel? You read the ayah, you have to ask yourself this question. Because the ayah wants you to feel a little bit more fear of Allah. The ayah wants you to feel love for Allah. The ayah wants you to have more hope in Allah. The ayah wants you to have sadness in a healthy direction. Many ayat, different emotions. And the last question you ask yourself, how does Allah want me to behave? Yani, what does He want me to do Is this ayah calling me to some sort of action in terms of me saying words that please him or do things that please him? These are three questions. If you can answer them all, you have pondered over the ayah in a very, in an entire manner. You've covered every aspect of pondering. So that's very important for your Quran study, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Always, even the word wadduha. You read wadduha, stop. This ayah is teaching you something about how to think, how to feel, and what you're supposed to do. Believe it or not, even alif, lam, mim, right? There's probably question marks in your mind wanting to know how. You can figure out this on your own. If you have time at the end, I can probably help you with some answers. Like, let's get to our ayat. Before we move on to the ayat, when we ponder over an ayah, what are we supposed to do? Three things. Yalla, what are they? Tawbah. What are the three things we're supposed to be doing with an ayah? Yalla, someone answer us.
Are we supposed to feel? Are we supposed to think? Are we supposed to
do? Ahsant, yalla, mashallah. Tawbah, ya akhi. Ahsant, yalla. Can anyone give me an answer? Someone else? Yalla. Anta, you're eating the chocolate and you want to answer. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. What's your name? Excellent, excellent, brother Mu'min. Yalla, someone. Tawbah. Ah, 1 second. By the way, your name is Mu'min. That's one of the names of Allah. What does it mean? La. Allah the believer. Quick, what does Al-Mu'min mean? Anyone can tell him? What does the name of Allah, Al-Mu'min, mean? La. The name of Allah, Al-Mu'min. Allah, his name is Al-Mu'min. Huh? No. What did he say? What did he say? The Abaya. No, no. Allah is the Abaya. No. Al-Mu'min means the one who gives safety and security. Have you ever used this name of Allah to say, Ya Mu'min, amminni mimma akhaf? O giver of safety and peace, give me peace and safety from the matters I fear. Brothers, we need to learn Allah's names and we need to include them in our dua. Yeah, brother, what does your name mean now? The one who gives safety and security. Okay, don't talk to your brother when we're speaking. Yalla, pay attention. That's good you answered. Tayyib, who can give me, what are the three things? Tawbah.
Understand it.
I said three things. Until you gave me one thing.
One of them is feel it.
How to feel, how to think, how to do. Sant. Yalla, one more from there, from the back. Someone give me a three-step process of at-tadabbur of Al-Qur'an. Yalla. Brothers, they're in the back. Shift, I tell you, a teacher's job is very hard. Yalla, I'll
tell you. Feel how to think what to do.
Like, yeah, ahsant. Yalla. Okay. Bismillah, listen. Khalas, enough. Yalla, you're still eating, you want. When you say, Alhamdulillah, I'll give you a new one. Tayyib. So now the ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal began the ayah with a fact. He said, indeed, surely, no doubt about it, we are going to test you all. كُمْ, at the end, لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, meaning all of you will be tested. The believer, the non-believer, the righteous, the sinner, the female, the male, the child, the older, the younger, every single category of human beings will be tested. You're with me so far? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. The question is, why did Allah inform us that He will test us? I give you the answers. Allah informed us that He will test us so that we can be prepared for the test, so that we're not shocked when the test comes. I'll give you an example. Imagine I had students in a classroom, and all of a sudden I said to them, pack up your books and you're going to be examined on your subject right now. Are they all shocked? No doubt. What do you mean? You never told us. How are we going to pass? And they're all panicking and worried. But imagine as a teacher, I said, brothers, next week, I'm going to test you about the subject. So when next week comes, is anyone shocked? Anyone in a state of panic? No, everyone's ready, prepared. I give the examination sheets out and everyone's ready to answer comfortably. Allah informed us He said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ I will be testing you all. Why did he tell us? So that we are prepared for the tests ahead in life. And we're not shocked and we're not surprised. But how did this happen? Why did it happen? How come Allah is doing this to me? Allah, I already told you. I said to you here in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, which you should be reading every day, the Quran you should be reading. I said to you, I will test you. But how beautiful is this? Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most merciful. He told us exactly what He's going to test us with. I mean, different to a teacher. If I'm a teacher, I'm going to say, I'm going to examine you. I'm going to tell you exactly what the questions are. Look, Allah Azza wa Jalla here goes a step ahead and tells us exactly what He's going to examine us with. He said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ I'm going to test you with something. Yani, look at the mercy of Allah in the word shay. Yani, I'm going to test you with something and not many things of one category. Just something. And he goes on to mention five categories in which we are going to be tested in. Five categories in which we are going to be tested in. Five categories. He said, min al-khawf. I'm going to test you with something of fear. So every single human being will go through fear and anxiety. And al-khawf refers to future matters. Because the past, you're sad about the past. Or you're happy about the past. But fear, anxiety, that's related to the future. So Allah is going to test you with fear. So you're going to find yourself that you fear the future, you fear your job, you fear for your children, you fear for your health, you fear for their education, you fear for your relationship in the future, you fear for your accommodation in the future, you fear for so many things. You fear for your for what you're going to be in the future. The fears are endless. Khawf. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ The second test is waljua. Waljua. We're going to test you with hunger. So people will go through a test known as famine, hunger, starvation. Either because food becomes scarce and there's actually no reach for food, like what is happening with our families in Gaza, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to alleviate their calamity and issues. Or maybe you have limited money and you're not able to buy food, so now you're being tested with hunger. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ And we're also going to test you all. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ We're going to test you with a loss of wealth. That's a test. So, loss of wealth, meaning you may invest your money somewhere and lose it. Al-ulama, they said taxes. Taxes are a test. When the government taxes you 30%, 40%, according to whatever income bracket you're in, that is naqsin min al-amwal. Your wealth is being lost. That's a test. So you see how I told you thinking? Now the Quran is wanting us to think that your tax is a ibtila, it's a test. Later on, the ayat are going to tell us how to, what our emotion is supposed to be in face of these tests. And what we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to do with these tests. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ We're going to test you with a loss of wealth. You may lose your home. You may lose your property. You may lose your business. Allahu A'lam. This is the test. وَالْأَنْفُسِ Number four, we're going to test you with a loss of life. Your loved ones are going to die. Your friends are going to die. Perhaps your parents will die in your lifetime. Perhaps a child will die in your lifetime. Perhaps a sibling will die in your lifetime. And that is nothing but a test from Allah, as He said. Naqs, you'll lose. You had 10 family members. They've become 8. You lost 2. Hada a naqs. And finally, Allah said, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ And number 5, I will test you with a loss of provision. Here, it means you may lose your job. You may lose your income. You may lose a passive source of income, no matter what the case is, meaning you lose provisions. Brothers and sisters, al-ulama, they said these five things are the foundations of calamities. Usul al-masa'ib. Every calamity on earth goes back to one of these five. There's no more. There's no other category. Every single test you go in life goes through one of these five. You may say, how about sickness? If I got sick, where does it fit? Who can tell me, where does it fit into these five? If someone got sick, provision, maybe, yes, because health is a provision. It also can fit in a loss of life, because you're not now 100% living life. Some of your life is gone when you're sick, you're bedridden, whatever the case may be. So every single calamity you can think of that ever known to mankind will fit under one of these five categories. And basically, if you wanted to summarize what Allah tests mankind with in one word, you will say Allah will test mankind with loss. That's it. Every calamity has a loss in it. But Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, the loss of the believer is actually a gain because of the reward and the purification and the elevation that Allah offers in return. So every loss of the believer is a gain. But that's what Allah tests with. Loss. Naqs, naqs, naqs. طيب. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Afterwards, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the patient ones. You know how incredible this is? Right at this ayah, بَشِّر, it's now teaching us what emotion we're supposed to have. So pay attention to me now. بَشِّر means what? What does bashir mean? I just said to you, can someone repeat? Give glad tidings. Here, I give you the glad tidings of Maltesers, bi-ithnillah. Bashir, give good news. It has the meaning of joy.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Celebration, rejoice, al-istibshar, bishara, to put a smile on your face. You know how incredibly unique this is and how beautiful this is? Yani Allah Azza wa Jal began the ayah and began to name 1, 2, 3 things that depress mankind. Yani imagine a teacher comes to you and says to you, listen, come here. In the next 2 days, you're going to be living in this room. And I'm going to be testing your courage. And I'm going to test your patience. And I'm going to be testing your generosity. And I'm going to be testing you on 1, 2, and 3. Before you enter the room, you're happy, excited, or you're sad and, I can't wait to get this thing over and done with. That's how your state is. Imagine here, Allah is saying, you mankind will be tested with anxieties, fear, loss of wealth, loss of life, loss of provision. Oh, well, when you hear this, you're sad. Like, how am I going to handle this test? What? And then Allah says, wabashir. Congratulations, good news, glad tidings. Have an emotion of happiness and rejoice, but only for as-sabirin, the patient ones. And how beautiful is this? Allah changes our mood. In other words, with every calamity, we're supposed to feel somewhat excited. Why? Not because of the calamity itself. Otherwise, everyone hates the calamity. Everyone doesn't want a calamity in his life. So what's the happiness for? The happiness is because Allah is giving you an opportunity to earn the rank of as-sabirin. And to earn the rank of a sabirin is high level. The people that are sabirin, the people that are patient in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment will enter the paradise without accountability. And they will be given reward without calculation. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. What an opportunity. So our thought process is being changed with this ayah. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now the question is, الصَّابِرِينَ. What is الصَّابِرِينَ? What is the patient? And how does a person become patient? Is there something I need to do, something I need to say? The ayat will teach us. The ayat will teach us. We'll learn it from the ayat. What's your name? Huh? Adam? What does Adam mean? Oh, why don't you know? Adam means dark in color. And Prophet Adam was called Adam because he was dark in his color. طيب؟ من الأدم. أحسنت. يلا. طيب وبشر الصابرين. Who are these patient ones? أنت وياه. What's your name? You shouldn't be talking in the class. Yeah? I'm just a lecturer, I'm a teacher as well. So I have that skill. Ahsan, mashallah. طيب. Okay, hala at the end, inshallah. وبشر الصابرين. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. I tell you something, my brothers. Any calamity that you face in life, you can respond to this calamity in one of four ways. There's no fifth. You can behave and respond to the calamity Allah sends you in one of four ways. Number one, you can respond with displeasure, sakhat. So you're going through a calamity and you say, why me? Why did Allah send this? How come? I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm a Muslim, I'm doing what I'm doing, I pay my zakat, others are not. Why are they not tested? Why did Allah test me like this? This is known as a sakhat. This is the first way you can respond to a calamity. The one who responds like this, Allah is displeased with him. فَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السَّخَطَ. Anyone who's displeased, Allah is displeased with him. And what a horrible way to respond, because when you're displeased with Allah's qadr and the test He sent to you, is He going to take away the test? Did things get better? You're still going through your calamity, but you have wasted an enormous opportunity of reward. You being displeased with what Allah tested you with wasn't going to change anything. You just destroyed it for yourself. You're still going through your pain and you're getting no reward out of it. What a waste. Terrible. The second way to respond to a test is as-sabr, being patient. And that here is wajib. It is obligatory to respond to every calamity with patience. And I'm going to explain to you what you're supposed to do to be labeled as a patient one during calamity. How do I know I've been patient in a calamity? We're going to answer that. The third way you can respond, and this is a higher level, is a rida, to be pleased with the calamity. Akhwani, being pleased with a calamity is mustahab, it's recommended. It's not wajib. Being pleased. I mean, you can have patience and you don't like what came to you. But you can have patience. This is what Allah decreed. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. But being pleased with a calamity is a level above as-sabr. Being pleased with a calamity means that whether the calamity happened or not, it's the same with you. Yani, let's say you went through a calamity of loss of wealth and you lost $10,000. If you are at the third stage, whether you lost it or not, it's the same for you. How difficult is that? Not everyone can achieve this. But that's why al-rida, being pleased, is a higher level than sabr. So that's what rida is. Whether the calamity happened or not, really it's the same. Because I know it came from al-alim, and what Allah does is all with knowledge and wisdom. So you know what, I really don't care. Whether the 10 was still with me or it was gone, it really doesn't matter. That's high level. And guess what? There's higher than that. And no one gets there except a few of Allah's slaves. And that is the fourth way to respond to a calamity known as ash-shukr. Not only pleased, but you're thanking Allah for the calamity. Oof. Have you ever thought of that? There are some slaves of Allah that respond to calamities by thanking Allah for it. And how do you thank Allah for a calamity? How can you get there? Very easy. You need to always focus on what remained from what Allah tested you with. So if Allah tested you with a loss of wealth, you say, Allah tested me with a loss of 10,000. But look what I still have. I still have this much of my wealth. I still have a car. I still have a business. I still have a job. So if you focus on what remains, you're able to get to the level of thanks, as opposed to just focusing on what went. Yani if Allah was to test you in your health, if you just focused on what Allah tested you with, you'll be blinded from what you still have. You can't get to the level of shukr. But if you want to get to the highest level, the level of thanking Allah for the calamity, you will have to look at what remains. Look, alhamdulillah, I still can talk, I still have my mind, I still can see, I can hear, I can talk, I can walk, I can move. Thought we got a little test here. There was once a lady, an older woman, who got affected in her eye, and she had a pad on her eye. So some asked her, indeed, this is a severe calamity. You've lost perhaps sight in your eye. She said, alhamdulillah, I still have my other eye. Alhamdulillah, I can still hear. Alhamdulillah, I can taste, I can eat. Alhamdulillah, I can digest food. There are people in the hospital. They need to go through machines and be drip fed because they cannot eat, they cannot digest. Alhamdulillah, I have my feet. Alhamdulillah, I have my hands. Alhamdulillah, I can still pray and do sujood. So they said, she kept telling us, alhamdulillah, I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that, until we were convinced that the tiniest ibtila that ever happened for her in her life was in her eye. So they thought it was the biggest, but after she listed alhamdulillah for so many other blessings, they said, oh, we recognized and we were certain that this was the smallest trial she ever went through. That's how you can get to alhamd, by looking at still what remains. طيب. We come back to as-sabr. How do we become sabirin? وبشر الصابرين. صبر, it comes from the word صبر. Linguistically, it means الحبس, to hold yourself back, to cage yourself. That's what صبر means. What does it mean in context of what we're speaking about? It means to hold yourself back from being displeased with Allah's decree upon you. That's what صبر literally, linguistically means. To hold your tongue back, to hold your heart back, to hold your hands and your actions back from doing something that displeases Allah during a calamity. That's what sabr means. طيب. Then Allah said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Now Allah is giving us the definition of sabr that He wants in our heads. So now this ayah is going to correct the thought that we had about what patience means. Listen and pay attention. Allah said, the patient ones are those who, when they are afflicted by a calamity, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They are quick to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Now let's take this bit by bit. The patient ones, you need to fulfill two things to be from the patient. Number one, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةً. When they are afflicted with a calamity. The word calamity in the Arabic language is what? مُصِيبَة, right? You've all heard of the word مُصِيبَة? Everyone knows مُصِيبَة? جَيِّد. Do you know what it actually means? Because if you know what the word musiba means, you will know exactly how to begin the road of sabr. The medicine is within the word musiba. Listen, pay attention. The word musiba It comes from asaba. And asaba literally means to hit the target. So if someone had a bow and an arrow in his hand and a bow, usually what does he do? Usually the archer, he has his eyes on a target. He wants to hit with precision and accuracy. Then he lets go of the arrow. If the arrow hit the bull's eye, the target, in Arabic we say, asab al-hadaf. He hit the target. So the word musiba means that what Allah sent upon you was targeted, precise, accurate. It was meant for you and no one else. You were never ever able to escape it, no matter what you did. Absolutely do what you like, you would have never ever 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 gotten away with it. The word musiba teaches us that what strikes you of calamity, brother, sister, it was intended for you. Stop wasting your time with, if only I did this, had I only done that, wallah, if I just didn't get married to her and I got married to the other one that came, I would have been saved from this headache. No, don't fool yourself. This if and if, throw it out of the window. It's not going to benefit you. It'll only weaken your belief in Allah. That's what musiba means. And that's the first way to get onto the road of patience. For you to wholeheartedly know that what happened to you, brother, it was never going to miss you. No matter what you tried to do in the past to avoid it, khalas, done deal, forget it. And that's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لِشَيْءٍ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُوا عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to avoid overthinking, how to stop negative thinking. He said, don't you dare ever say to anything that Allah decreed and willed, oh, had I only did this and had I only done that. However, immediately say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. What Allah decreed, He does. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned. He said, be careful from this word of if. Don't say if, because that will open up the doors and the action of the shaitan. Because the ifs are endless. They'll never finish. Imagine I lost $100 or $1,000. Let's say I lost $10,000 in an investment. And I started opening up the door of if with myself. Where's it going to end? If I put it with this guy. But the brother told me and he gave me advice. If only I took his advice. But then I had an opportunity to open my own business. If only I did this. But I couldn't put it in the savings. I would have bought this. If only I... Where's the if going to finish? You know what this is doing? The more you say if, it's weakening your heart and your belief in the qadr. Well, qadr is the sixth matter of arkan al-iman. Every if is weakening your belief in al-qadr. You all know that from arkan al-iman is to believe in al-qadr, right? The good and the bad qadr. You know what it means to believe in the qadr? Who knows? Like, who can give me a very short definition of what it exactly means to believe in al-qadr? Very short. I want something practical, powerful, to the point where you'll never forget. Let me answer it for you. Yeah, because... Okay, you need some time. Pay attention. I'm going to ask you the question at the end. طيب آدم جيد. It's narrated in the hadith that the companion رضي الله عنه said that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "You will never believe in the qadr until you believe that whatever struck you was never going to miss you." And what missed you was never going to strike you.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.